Pintcast. Joining me today is Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at IHateYourClub. Well, Joseph, we have just come through quite the trialing match, but it was never in doubt, right? Never in doubt. Arsenal were always going to qualify.
Yeah, well, I mean, my prediction that I made last week as a 1-1 draw and losing on away goals was about 3 inches from coming true a couple times.
Fuck off, Demobot. Demobot was never going to reach that header, okay?
If he actually had faith that Per was going to miss it, he would have been for an easy finish, but wasn't to be, and we qualify again for the group stages, which is important.
Is it 17 years?
And then you get the money, you know, the group stage money, but then you get, I'm sure you get the revenue from the home matches, right? And then you get, I'm sure we had to be in it for Puma too.
Of course.
So you get all that. You get all that money. So it was important to the players. I know, you know, they want to be in it. And then it's important to them for money too, because their bonuses are tied to making the group stage.
It is, really.
Yes, it's not just qualifying. It's got to be qualifying for the group stage, apparently.
I mean the knockout rounds?
The group stage.
The group stage. Okay.
Qualifying for the group stage is when they get their bonuses, not just when they get it fourth.
I see. So if they get third, then they get the bonuses. But if they get fourth, then they got to make it in the play-in. What about players that leave over the summer? Don't they get a bonus or something from that? I don't know.
It appears that they're all tied to qualifying for the group stage, though. Okay. So if they leave
for that year, so it doesn't matter. For that, right? Okay.
Yeah. They all got plenty of money.
Down with that. Yeah. So yeah, it was pretty straightforward qualification, huh? Well, before we get to that, let's get to the match of the weekend. Arsenal faced Everton in a very, very tough fixture, one in which we lost 3-0 last season. And this season, it didn't really start off looking like anything different. Everton really took it to us in the first half. Can you give me your little thoughts on that Everton match, Joseph?
Well, I shut it off, and I was pissed off at the world for a few minutes. Luckily, I actually had to leave at halftime. Lucky in a sense that I couldn't take any more. I mean, we just looked poor, just slow, and if I recall correctly, Santi had a horrible match. Jack wasn't great. We looked slow, and then their movement picked us apart. I mean, they're putting Lukaku off to the right on Monreal, and then Naismith just sat in between the two center backs and had a ton of space, you know. And I just thought that their movement just drug us all over the place.
Naismith is such like an ugly little caricature. He reminds me of some of the one of those little like those little ugly face memes. You know, they're just drawn in black and white. I guess maybe since he's so pale, maybe that's why
But dude is in the right place at the right time. Yeah, so far for them.
Motherfucker was offside though.
Well, you know, you can't expect a lineman to do his job.
Right. It's always nice when the replay shows them like, oh, in slow motion, here he is staring directly at the man offside.
Yeah, but you could see him. he was about 2 feet forward, so his stupid angle showed that it was on. You could see where he was standing. He wasn't where he was supposed to be.
He's an asshole.
If he was, he would have called it offside, but he was too far forward in the play.
I suppose so. I mean, I think you should still be able to spot that his body was ahead of the other guy. But I mean, I see what you're saying. He wasn't perfectly in line. But I think from his angle,
he was still a shit call.
Yeah, it's a bad call. Bad call. Regardless of the fact that the move like tore us open again,
just completely tore us open, and we were pissing ourselves and and then I stood up and shut the TV off. Not because was the scoreline. It's just like. It was so frustrating that he changed nothing from the previous match. Nothing changed, you know, from the match against Crystal Palace. We still didn't look that great. lineup wasn't anything exciting.
So do you think we're suffering from the short preseason, because this has been our shortest preseason we've had? Like, not only just the amount of fixtures, but then also so many players with the tournaments. I mean,
we've still looked
in preseason form for a lot of this.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't dispute that. I hope we get a lot better. We had a few injuries going into that match already, right?
Yep.
And more coming out of it.
Right.
But I'm glad we came back and it looked like Everton for the most part, they shouldn't really be that tired, but they looked pretty tired towards the end of that match because they gave their all and just got kind of picked apart a little bit.
And it's early days, man. It's early in the season, and there's a lot to, most teams, the fitness levels just aren't quite there yet. I think that is evident with Arsenal as well. But like you said, I mean, Everton expounded a lot of energy.
They did that too.
Energy. We're expending a lot of energy. It just took its toll on them as the match went on, and as we begin to get a better grasp of the match. And obviously, I think there's a lot to say for Wenger's tactics. I mean, to say that he actually did make a change at halftime, made a significant one. You know, he pulled off Alexis because it certainly wasn't working. Alexis has looked and still continues to look like he's pressing a bit too much, but we'll get this performance today. Yeah. But I mean, it's tough. I didn't want him to play center forward yet. It's not that I don't believe he can be a center forward. I wanted him to blood him on the wings, get comfortable in the league, and once he's comfortable there, then shift him. Then, if that's going to be the case, we're going to play him through the middle, then shift him once he's comfortable and established and score some goals. Obviously,
yeah, that would be nice.
Obviously, recent events are altering those plans a bit. But what we did see was that when we brought on Giroud at halftime, that we went back to a formation that we're familiar with. He went out and showed us what he's like on a good day.
Right.
Because we hadn't seen that yet this season, but I think we saw that in the World Cup, and we saw that a lot last season, and we saw how effective he can be. I mean, he really is a fucking battering ram up there. Like, he's a good center forward. He's not the world beater that we all want and expect from Arsenal.
Right. He's not, but he's a solid center forward.
He's a very good center forward who is good enough to play for Arsenal. Does he necessarily need to be the first option for Arsenal and the number one guy that we go to? I mean, if you had a stable of forwards, you want, that's one of the horses you want. You want that.
Right.
Big
and if
stallion.
You could have them reasonably fresh, your performances would probably be a lot better than some of the ones that we have seen.
Exactly. And imagine having to go route one later in the match. Well, fuck yeah, I'm going to bring on Giroud for the last 20 minutes. And he's going to go out there and just hammer everybody. Perfect.
Right. And, after 65 minutes of dealing with whatever they're dealing with, they're not going to exactly want to be having the guy that size and that strong just leaning on defenders, So, I mean, I it's disappointing that he's out overall, and it's disappointing that we don't have more options.
So, of course, it was Captain Fantastic. I mean, he's not our captain, but, I mean, he is basically our heart and soul at the moment. Aaron Ramsey scoring the first goal to get us back into it. Probably the one good thing Cazorla did in that match was that did he come in as a sub? Cazorla came in as a sub, right, in that match? He did. Anyway, so came on and made the difference in towards the end and made that cross for Aaron. And, even though he didn't have the best of matches, he keeps to continue to produce the goods when it matters.
Right.
And so that got us off – that finally got us off the mark. And it still felt like it was a little bit too late, it was the 82nd minute or something. It was right around there.
Right.
And then Olivier, with you got Rambo's botched – cross that goes all the way wide. I never thought it was going to go out, but he put enough.
It was a nice pass
out
wide. Come on,
Real. Nice cross field ball to Nacho, and then Nacho. And here's the thing:
puts it a good ball.
Nacho's got a pretty cultured left foot. Like he can actually deliver pretty good service, and he did that right there. And Olivier just got up and beat his man near post. Man, just out-muscled him, and then just that header is a goal that no keeper's going to save because. He pulled out and he got in front of his defender and then he nailed a bullet header an inch inside the post.
Yeah,
and that's unsavable.
Fantastic. It's fantastic header. Yeah, it was good to get points. It's good to get points up there. I don't know. We have started with Giroud? I don't know.
Revisionist history. You know, it's always easy to second guess. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. Like,
I only say that because we played so poorly in the first half. Not that we would have necessarily won the match with him, but we just didn't play well that first half. I'm still always concerned more with our play because for us, if we can play our kind of football, I think the results come. Right.
We
didn't look that way against Crystal Palace, and we squeaked that one by just based on a little bit of luck, you know.
But you know, we really are still have players, like I said, in preseason form. We have guys like Ozil.
I think Ramsey seems to be maybe a little bit in preseason form. I'll just say that he's not quite at where he was even at the end of the season. You know, just from what I see, his burst of speed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's
sharp.
He's, you know, that's what I kind of noticed with Jack is, you remember when we'd watch Ramsey and he'd be okay, but he couldn't finish, or he'd get in positions and he couldn't finish. I still see that with Jack a little bit. He's starting to get himself closer to the positions. He's just not there goal scoring wise.
Yeah,
he's yet, and I think it'll
composure.
And I think it'll come, but he's going to need, you know, most of the season to get there.
You hear Ramsey talk about it himself. You know, he talks about how he's always getting this position that he just feels calmer in front of goal, and it's one of those things. You know, like it opens up to you. In any sport where it feels like time slows down.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're in front of goal, and instead of being like, oh, fuck, I got to shoot. Like, I'm playing for fucking Arsenal at the Emirates in front of 6,000 people. What happens if I don't score? Like, what the fuck am I going to do? And
they call that the Sinogo.
Jesus Christ. I can't imagine how it goes in
his positions, right? And you can just see him tense up and holy shit, and then they shank it, you know, or miss it, or, you know what I mean? It's just – and then at some point it clicks.
Yeah, Sinogo always reminds me of like a cartoon giraffe, like walking out on an ice skating rink, you know, and then it's like all legs just, or maybe it's like the Bambi on ice.
Yeah, I mean, right? That's really what he is. He doesn't have any grace at all. You know, he doesn't, you know, and that's not going to come for a few years, to be honest. It's really not.
Okay. But the good thing to see was that, you know, the team fought back and got the result. And, you know, it's weird because, you know, you really thought that, well, maybe we could have gotten all 3 points. But you see the team, and there's something that has stuck around from last season. It's something that's kind of been brewing. I guess I'd say this is really the third season, I guess, ever since Van Persie fucked off, that it feels like there's a more cohesive team unit and that there is a will to, like, pull ourselves across the line and do things. And there's a good team ethos, I'd say. And you saw them fight back, and it really meant something. And it really, you know, you can see the confidence, even though it's only one fucking point and we really feel like we should have won there. I mean, a lot of people are going to go lose at Everton. You know,
yeah,
we see a few other teams losing it much, you know, dropping points against much less significant clubs. I'm not going to name any names.
Right.
But yeah,
I think that was good. The point, it's a good point. It's the scoreline I thought it was going to be. It was uglier than I thought it was going to be, but I'll take a point away there.
I'll take it. So we'll go from there to the Champions League qualifier against Besiktas. You know, I've been very confident and bullish throughout about this, even though the nerves really did start to creep in. You know, when we didn't get the away goal and, you know, at that match in Turkey, I was like, fuck, man, we didn't get the fucking goal. Like, that's the one thing we needed, was an away goal, just so that we wouldn't be in the situation where one goal fucks us when they come back. And we didn't get that. And so it was very nervy times. And at the Emirates, it was, you got to say, we had the lion's share of the chances and we dominated play primarily. But Besiktas still came out. We're pretty dangerous, though, I'd say.
Yeah, they were good. I think you went to the Fox and Hounds and watched?
Yeah, I was at the Fox for this.
Yeah, I couldn't watch. I was following it. And obviously, I watched it later on. But it was one of the most miserable games to follow. Because every every pass, you know, was just every missed pass was just people just laboring over every single pass, every single shot, every, well, I guess they had a few chances over the match. You know, they had a, I'm not sure they had really anything on target, but they did have, you know, stuff leading towards the goal.
I think it was more having to do with the situation, you know, just in the sense of because of what was at stake. Like, I didn't feel like they were that dangerous through the majority of the match, but it's just the fact that, like, we hadn't put the match away yet just led to those increased nerves. You know, it's just like, fuck, like, come on, like, what happens if they get something here, you know? Every time they got near the box, and once they got to the 80-something minute, you know, you knew it was always going to be nervy.
Yeah, most of them, I mean, most of their opportunities were long balls over the top that Ba almost got to, or, right, you know, across that he almost got to, but overall didn't have that many opportunities.
You know, I really think, though, I mean, aside from, I guess the Everton match is the one outlier so far, but our defense has been pretty solid, like, most of the way around, you know? Like, the first goal against Everton was, you know, Ozil didn't track his man, and they had a decent move. And then the second one, I mean, Mertesacker was fouled, and then Chambers dove in, and then there was an offside goal. So it's not like it was a complete calamity, even though it certainly didn't cover us in, you know, we didn't cover ourselves in glory. But at least we've looked very solid at the back. You know, we went through this Champions League tie. We didn't concede one goal against Besiktas, you know. And Demba Ba is probably better than half the strikers we face in the league, you know.
He's better than we have available right now.
Yeah, it's true. He'll be better than two-thirds of the strikers we're going to face in the league, if not more. And he looked dangerous, and he wasn't able to get anything on, you know, really get anything off against us. Shout out to Oziakup. I mean, he actually played pretty fucking well.
He played
well.
A good game.
He played pretty well. Both legs. He was very influential.
The Canadian, I forget his name, Hutchison had a decent match.
Atiba or whatever.
He was all over the place.
Yeah.
He was really all over the place with them. You could tell maybe about minute 83, I think. He was done, but up until then, I think they played well. I mean, we had plenty of opportunities, and that we should have put the game away. You know, the Ox had a great chance. Sanchez had one saved, although, you know, maybe puts in a different place. Yeah. Jack had the one, what heck, within the first, I don't know how many minutes that one was, that he pulled wide.
And when you look at the replay, too, that's one of those where you really think composure would have helped him, because he had the whole fucking window.
He had the whole goal.
I mean, he had, you know, it was one of those things that, like, you're doing drills, and, like, there's no goal. You just got to hit it between the cone and the post, you know? Like, he really had that whole thing open. It was, like, 3 to 4 feet wide of the right side of the goal, and he still pulled
it was
wide.
It was gaping.
It really was. You're just like, oh, God, it was all there. It was all there. And, you know, and, like, you have that feeling, well, Ramsey would have put that away right now just because of the way he is.
Right now, you're probably right. He probably would have. And I think that'll come for Jack, you know.
Dude, what about that swing, though, where – was it right when Ox missed that one? And then it was, like, within 30 seconds, Debushi got sent off. It was like, oh, my God.
It was them returning the other way. It was the exact same
I was talking
play.
To this guy, a guy I just met today at the pub, a gooner named Aaron, and we were sitting there, and it was like – oh, my God. I turned to him. I'm like, dude, I fucking hope we don't pay for that. And they turn around, and Debushi gets the fucking red card of that. And it's like, just look at him. It's like, dude, the turnaround was so quick. Like, how quickly this went from being done and dusted to, oh, my God, I'm shitting my pants.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really enjoy that kind of stress. I mean, I don't know how many, we've been dealing with this kind of holding on to a one-goal lead many times over the last year and a few months here. You know, I mean, hell, we just did it in the FA Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'd have to hold it on to that one too much. We had to come back.
Well, they had that one chance right there at the end of the match.
Yeah, they did. They did. they did for sure. I don't know, man. But all that matters in the end is that we qualified. You know?
Yeah.
We qualified.
Pot one.
17 years in a row, pot one.
Pot one to piss everybody else that's not in pot one off.
Yeah. I saw some bullshit tweet. Was it from Matt Law or something, saying, I can't believe that Arsenal and Pot won. Like, yeah, go fuck yourself. You know, I think someone else put a good response saying, yeah, well, sorry, City don't get to go in there right away. You know, you fucktard.
Yeah, I think I saw something. You know, they're only being rewarded for the past 17 years of qualification and play.
Yeah. But I mean, I forget how long the coefficient and all that kind of shit goes into play, but it really does reward consistency and continuing to get to further levels. I mean, I think we really are in danger of falling out of pot one, though, if we continue to just get out at the round of 16, if we don't make at least the quarterfinals anymore.
We need to make a quarterfinal here.
It'd be nice to make a semifinal. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure Platini will really allow that with a draw.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll be having the draw soon, so we'll be talking about that later. But yeah, I mean, so we're there, we're in the top competition where we need to be and we need to always be. I don't want to know Arsenal. Like I said, I still refuse to acknowledge the Europa League until we have to play in it. So until that day,
it doesn't exist. It might as well be an Asian tournament for you.
It's a Mickey Mouse bullshit. Like, I've enjoyed watching it sometimes, but it's more fun. Like, as long as I can still sit here on my fucking perch and talk shit to all those that are down there and dealing with it.
You enjoyed it when Atletico Madrid were playing in it. That's the only time you were watching it.
Hey, no, that wasn't the only time. I enjoyed watching Bilbao. And hey, shout out to Bilbao for fucking knocking off Napoli. That was a big result. And very, very disappointing result for Napoli, you'd have to say. And I remember them knocking out Manchester United a couple of years ago, and that was really exciting. That was a good Europa League year. I think
that's
when Atletico beat Bilbao in the final.
Right.
That was a good year. it was a good year because Bilbao knocked out Manchester United, which was embarrassing for them. I mean, if only they had known that would be like the least of their worries come a few years, you know? Like, they thought that was a low point.
I think yesterday's match was one of the lower points I've seen.
Benik. Shout out to Benik Fobe.
What a stud.
What a stud. Brace against Manchester United. Might get recalled by Arsene Wenger to be our savior. Who knows? Those are the rumblings.
If he could be that composed, then I'd take it.
Yeah. Hey, I always rated the kid, and best of luck to him. He might be one of those guys just like Ozykup, who we saw. I mean, that kid's a good fucking player. If he can be healthy, he'll be a good pro somewhere. You know?
Right. He'll play somewhere, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he'll play top division. He could be a Premier League striker. Might not be Arsenal caliber. Maybe not. But he is good enough to play at the top level, and so I hope that he does. Seems like a good cat and good character all around. So kudos to you. Well done for getting a brace against Manchester United. That's only going to help you in the eyes of Arsene. So best of luck. So
qualification means to Arsenal, do you think we spend any money?
Yes. Was that a buzz? Did you find it?
Forward positions.
I mean, I would spend. Yes, of course I would.
Shit, you would have already spent.
Of course I would have already spent. Well, everyone else would have already spent. Also, if they could, if it was that easy. I'm not saying it's that easy. It's really tough right now because we're put in a situation where who the fuck knows what we can actually pull off and like who we can really get in. I mean, I refuse to put any faith into any Cavani or Falcao rumor.
No, neither rumor one of them
alone,
happening.
Any bullshit.
People are on crack.
Look, those are happening. Those who've listened to this podcast for a while will understand that I've been a big admirer and have said those are the kind of players that Arsenal need to sign.
But we would have needed to do those in June or July.
And like we needed to sign them before they left Atletico and and Napoli, respectively, before they went to oil clubs for 50 and 60 million pounds. You know what I mean? Like that was our window, I think.
1,000 pounds a week.
I mean, please prove me wrong, Arsene. I beg of you to find a way to do that.
We have missed out on those for years. You know what I mean? They're already – that's been my point the whole time. They're already at top clubs making huge money. You know what I mean?
Right. So we got to be a little more pragmatic and think about who we can actually get now. And it's tough to come up with options. I mean, I've come up with one. Obviously, I've been touting it just a little bit for the past day. There's only one that makes sense to me. I'm sure, you know, because you try to think of something that works monetarily, like what you can do with the squad, what kind of what we need addressed. And it's one of those things that, like, look, I think, you know, I've been a fan of his for a while. I'd say Fernando Llorente is the kind of guy we could bring in. And
I mean, you wanted him, hell, two years ago.
Yes, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and last year. You know, and you know, we brought in Giroud instead, and I think they're relatively like for like. But here's the thing, you know, Giroud is out for, what'd they say on Arsenal.com today? 4 months? They
said
4 months. So let's say 5. So whatever. Giroud is going to miss the majority of the season. He's going to miss. He's not. Hopefully, he'll be back by the time that the Champions League comes back in February, and he can be our great second striker, or whatever the fuck it is at that point. Juve apparently want Podolski. Okay. Well, look, Podolski is a player who I don't want to see go, and I like. But realistically, if we're looking forward, he doesn't really have a future at Arsenal. We've already been searching for replacements in his position. You know, we signed a guy who's a replacement in his position because Alexis can play left, and he's clearly no longer first choice, nor is he a young guy who's kind of sitting there and waiting for his berth, you know, to get his chance. So you let him go. I'm fine with that. But if you can find a way to make it work, because obviously, you know, Juve are told $13 million for Podolski. They don't want to spend $13 million on anybody.
They don't have any money.
All those Italian teams are broke as shit. So they're not. They can't spend on any
money. Have they bought anybody? I mean, they bought Tevez for like $5 million.
Right. I
mean,
so I have the perfect solution. Perfect fucking solution. If they really want to loan Podolski, I'd actually prefer to make it permanent. Just do a fucking player swap, Podolski for Llorente, because they're both in the same price range. You know, if it means that money changes hands a couple million one way or the other, then so be it. So it turns into a £2 million deal or a couple million euro deal one way or the other. I don't know exactly which way it would swing. But you do that. And if not, fucking loan them both.
Is Llorente over his sulk year? Because he had a whole year of being sulky.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
At Bilbao, right?
It wasn't really his choice. He was sulky, but like they wouldn't play him because he was leaving. So when he played, he'd score. Like
How did he score at Juve last year?
He did all right. He did all right. I don't know his stats offhand. He had something around 10 goals or so, or other. And that was playing like half the games or so. Like he kind of wasn't in favor, and then he played and scored goals. So he became more of a mainstay. But now that they've signed Morata, and I know he fucking got injured right away, but I think he's coming back pretty soon. And they still have Tevez, and they want to bring in other wide forwards and all that. It seems like Llorente is expendable. I mean, I saw rumors about them trying to use him as a paperweight in another deal. Whether that's just a bunch of paper talk and bullshit, who fucking knows? But apparently he's not, you know, their most coveted asset. And here's the thing. Like, they're cheap as fuck, and they signed him for fucking free. So if they can make $10 million on him, or if they can get another player who they want for a guy that they signed for free, that's, you know, it's free money for them. Whether it's, you know, used to acquire another asset directly in just a player swap or as in money as a paperweight for another deal. So I think it makes a lot of sense, even if it's a loan. Because if people are like, well, you don't want to have Llorente and Giroud at the same time, okay, fucking loan them both each way. Because I think Llorente's got one more year on his contract after this at Juve. And so you loan him for a year because we have Giroud and they're the same kind of player. But if Llorente comes here and kills it, then you find a way to make the deal permanent. You know, why not?
I'm going to change to the fact that because I still don't think we're going to buy a forward.
So you think what? We're going to go where? Defensive midfielder maybe?
What? No, I don't think we're getting a defensive midfielder.
So what are we going to do? Sign a center back and that's it?
Yep.
Fuck you. We need two out of the three. We need two out of the three. Let's not fuck around. If it's a defender and a defensive midfielder, I'll accept it begrudgingly because that's all I expect. But you got to make it happen. You got to, whether it's William Carvalho or someone else or fucking Kadira, whoever it might be, get it done. Get it done because, you know, we've done the mandatory deals that needed to be done to replace immediate holes in the squad, but now you need to strengthen and you got to do. And now there's one more hole left, which is that last center back. And we missed out on Manolas or whatever, cause he went to Roma.
And honestly, it would be a huge mistake not to get a defensive midfielder. It would, and not because I don't think that Arteta and Flamini can do the job today. It's that
you need someone for the future there.
You need someone for the future. And why not have them learn now with less pressure? And hell, by the end of the year, maybe, you know, first maybe choice. he's already displaced, you know, Arteta. I'd like to see that position filled for the future. That's all. And not wait for the future that becomes immediate future next summer when we, you know, we really need the upgrade.
Yeah, I think something's got to get done now. I really
and the
do.
Center back, I don't know. I mean, obviously we're trying for a third, you know, a third center back really. And then right. Chambers is the right back slash fourth, but hell, who could be third by the end of the year too? So,
yeah, I mean he's playing like a third center back right now, but I mean this is early days, and like you said, it's not enough depth. It's not enough depth, so it's tough.
Yeah,
to say.
I just hope we, you know, obviously we had a target, we missed out on the target because he wanted to go somewhere and play, be first choice, you know, and not fight for first choice, but kind of have a first choice, his to lose, you know what I mean? Kind of a deal at Roma.
I suppose.
But, you know, hopefully there's a second choice they have in mind that they can get done in the next 4 days.
Hopefully so, man. I mean, the window is shutting quickly. You know, that door is swinging closed. So, you know, hopefully we can get the business done. I don't know, man. I'm really up in the air as to whether or not we're going to get a fucking striker in. But once again, like, we need to sign two out of those three right now. You know, I was more accepting of not signing a striker, at least right now, before the Giroud injury. But now it's just like, it seems like another fucking misstep, really, if we don't do it. Look, like I said, I'm waiting until the window shuts to reflect on it, because obviously a lot can happen in the last days of the window that can completely change the landscape, a.k.a. Ozil, you know, things like that really change things. I don't think there's going to be a game changer like that that's going to happen, but you know, you can do things about this, and there are people you can sign, and there's ways to go about some of this shit, and there is some business that can get done. So I think it'd be criminal if Arsenal don't sign two players.
It'd be, now that we've qualified, it'd be pretty damn irresponsible not to sign two more players.
You know, and like whether that's, I mean, if it's not a midfield, if he signs the striker and the defender, then like, well, fuck it. You know, like I understand. Like I think we all agree that defender has to be one of the two. You know, I think defensive midfielder is a huge place we need to look at. And, you know, realistically, I mean, perfect situation, it would be all three. But do I think three are going to happen? Fuck no. I do not at all. I think two should happen. I think two need to happen. And I guess we'll leave it to you, Arsene.
Yeah, step up.
About time.
Please, for fuck's sake.
Pretty just, please. Well, because this is a season that promises so much. You know, and we're on the doorstep. We've been knocking on the doorstep, and you're just waiting to get that little bit to bring us across the line. And, you know, you signed Alexis Sanchez. That's a great fucking upgrade. That's awesome. But, like, you know, we need, through the spine, you need that little bit more, you know? And you just really hope that they can find a way to make it happen so we can get some business done and really give it a fucking go and contend, because it's, you know, otherwise it's going to be the same fucking story all over again. You know, like January, it was like, why didn't we sign a striker? Why didn't we sign a striker? And then we didn't have the goals in the second half of the season to compete, you know?
Well, right. That's why I say kind of right now, my expectations are fourth and, you know, a cup run
third.
Because nothing
third.
I don't see third the way the squad sits today, especially with losing Giroud. I just don't see it. So, because we're going to have to replace however many goals he scored for us in the league last year, 15?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I'm fiending for my boy Theo to come back, you know, but I'm not sure we're going to see the best out of him for months.
Right.
I mean,
no, I'd have to agree with you there, and we'll see if he can stay fit. They're going to take that back.
Well, I guess going into the weekend against Leicester away, right?
Sunday.
I would think there's got to be a few changes. So, I mean,
rotation.
It would nice. I mean, again, we're stuck with one person up top again, like we were last year, where we exhaust the fucker because Alexis looked pretty damn tired because he worked his ass off today.
Yeah, he worked his fucking socks off, no doubt.
So I'd like to see some rotation, and we should have the quality to still pull out 3 points on the road against a lower team.
So Podolski plays? So Campbell plays?
I'd like to see both of them.
So Sonogo plays?
I'd like to see the other two.
I'd like to see Sonogo play for Leicester on loan. That would be great.
If he's fit, I don't think you have a choice but to start him.
Yeah, I think you got to go with that. And fucking hopefully he can break his duck for us, you know, in a real game. It'd be really nice.
Hopefully someone else, you know, if it's not him, someone else chips in with a goal or two, and there's no pressure for him to have to deliver for us.
So you think in the midfield, Flamini probably keeps his place because Arteta's still not fit. And then Rambo comes right back in. I think Wilshere's probably due a rest by now. And I think we're overdue seeing Thomas Rosicki. So I think they should give him some minutes.
Yeah, I think Rosicki ought to play. I'd like to see Campbell get some minutes. Ox should be good to go again.
Yeah, I say you keep Ox in, and then you let, you know, let Alexis. And, I mean, I think he'll rest at least one of Alexis and Cazorla. I mean, I'd say hopefully both, but then, you know, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that, like, you make all these changes and then everyone slaughters you when they play like shit. So, well, yeah, they've never fucking played together in a real match like this group. But
it would be nice if Alexis didn't have to make a travel for internationals. I don't know what his obligations are, but it'd be nice if he didn't have to travel.
I doubt that. I highly doubt that. I think he is traveling
somewhere. I know.
But yeah, we're better off. Well, you know, we'll see how it goes. Like I said, it'd be great to see a lot of rotation. Give some of these guys a chance because we got to give these guys some minutes. And if they can't play against Leicester, I mean, like, look, Leicester looked decent in fits in a couple matches, I guess. But they're, you know, they're a bottom side, a team that should be going down. You should be able to play your fringe players against these guys and get results because. That, I mean, look, if these guys are going to give contributions this season, like if Podolski's going to play with us this season, then you play him. If he's not, then fucking leave him on the bench still and play Campbell because he needs to get minutes and we need to have confidence in him. And he's got to score goals for
right.
us.
Right, and against this kind of opposition, it'd be the time to right. get him some minutes.
Exactly.
You know, I think I told you earlier I was thinking it was a big day for Ox today. I thought he had a good match. Maybe we can get a couple. Maybe we can get a brace from him this weekend. That'd be nice. I'd like to see that kid score.
Yeah, great to see him get off the mark because he, you know, he does know how to score. So that'd be great. Well, I guess we'll leave it there. Hopefully, Arsenal. Give me your score prediction for the weekend.
2-0. Ox gets both.
Nice. I like that. I'm gonna go 3-1. Ox and Campbell. And
nice.
Ox, Campbell, and Ramsey. So we'll go.
All right.
Keep Ramsey going. My captain on my fantasy team, so I got to keep him rolling with the goals.
Gotta keep rolling with the goals.
I got to keep him on that goal a game ratio, son. Sitting
pretty
right now.
That's big points right there. That's big points.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. So, anyways, thank you, Joseph, as always. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. And then we'll be back shortly with a little roundup on Champions League. All right, and welcome to the Pinecast. Martin, you can follow him on Twitter at HeisenbergCamp. Welcome, Martin.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So we've just had the Champions League draw. Arsenal have a pretty decent group. I'd say it's a tough draw, but it's reasonable, I suppose. Chelsea getting quite a pushover group again, and Liverpool facing an interesting test in going to Real Madrid, although the rest of the group is pretty weak. Give me your big talking points from that draw. What really stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think from Arsenal's point of view, it could have been better. It could have been worse. I mean, I think that's kind of about average in terms of what you're expecting in terms of the group stage draw. I mean, we got Dortmund again, which is it's always a little bit of a bummer to get the same team twice in a row.
That's what. But it's like three times in 4 years, isn't it? Because we only have like a year off in between.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I would say, I mean, I haven't watched them this year and I don't pay a ton of attention to German soccer, but I do think without Lewandowski and without Götze, I don't think they're quite as scary as they were even last year. And I think Arsenal are better than we were last year. So, you know, we took 3 points off each other. I think they beat us in London and we beat them in Dortmund, if I remember correctly, last year. So, you know, I mean, I think I'd like to think we could at least get 3 points from those two matches. Cause I do think we are a better team than them at the moment. And then, you know, the wild card is Galatasaray, I think. I mean, that's in a way with these, that's always the team you're worried about is the other team that could sneak into the top two. You know, even if Dortmund go crazy and win the group, as long as we finish second, we're okay. You know, that, I mean, they're a decent side. I think they finished second in Turkey last year. They've got Wesley Sneijder. They've got our boy Aboué. They
lost Drogba, which is a big. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big loss. And I think
considering how his record against us. It's just one of those things. To have him out makes a huge difference.
It does. It does. And they've got Prandelli's a good coach. They've got a new coach, so you know they could be the wild card. You know, you hope at the very least we can beat them in London. Get those 3 points. That trip to Istanbul is always tough. But I, you know, going into these, I always feel like 10 or 12 points is going to be enough to get through. And I think the calculus you always go back to is, you know, if you win your matches at home, don't lose your matches away, you'll be fine. And I think we can beat all three of those teams at home. We should be able to beat Anderlecht away too. And if we can just play okay in those other two matches, you know, in Istanbul, and in Dortmund, I think we should be fine. So I don't know. I saw ESPN's Soccer Power Index thing say we had a 70% chance of going through. That seems a little bit low to me. I think it's higher than that. So I really, you know, there's really no good excuses for us not going through this group, and I think that's all you can ask for.
Well, I think, you know, I'm with you. I really think that the likelihood's probably a little higher. It showed, what, Dortmund at like around 80 and we were around 70 or something. I mean, it showed them slightly higher than us. And I think it's a little bit unfair. I think you'd say both of their joint favorites to get out of the group and, you know, ever so likely to be 1 and 2. And you know, with your assessment of their squad, I mean, it's, you know, I enjoy and hate this fixture because I do follow Dortmund in Germany, so I don't really want to see it. So it's one of those I do want them all to win their games, then split them between the two, really.
Right.
and just leave it at that. But I want Arsenal to come out on top in the group, and that's something that we haven't done the past couple seasons, and it's really burned us because, you know, you face Bayern over and over and like you get stuck with that draw. I mean, look at the way some of these teams get out. I mean, obviously, there's some easier groups, but you look at a couple of those groups, right? A couple of them, like you'd say, some that have a few weak teams in them, and you know that the second place team coming out is going to be who everyone wants to face in that next round, and you're not going to face that team unless you win your group, and that can be, right. I mean, that can be really almost smooth sailing into the quarterfinals when you have to play a team like one of those available. You know, at that point, you know, you're facing a team like, well, I guess CSKA Moscow is not going to make it out of their group. But, you know, Group H, right? Porto, Shakhtar, Bilbao, and Bate Borisov. I mean, you think it's probably going to be Bilbao and Porto, or Shakhtar and Porto. Porto's the one seed. But,
right. You
know, in the next round, when you're thinking about potentially facing Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, Bayern, or your Chelsea, or, you know, these are the teams, you know, and there is the possibility of actually facing City and PSG also. But to have those other teams as a possibility, that's you want to have yourself in at least in the, you know, your hat in the ring to face one of those in the first round, because it's an easy way through.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I feel like there's been less variation in the last couple of years than there used to be. You know, Wenger's never prioritized winning the group. He's always seemed perfectly happy to finish second. But definitely the last couple of years, it seems like there's a big advantage to winning. For the reasons you stated, that there's a, you know, much higher chance of drawing a weak opponent. And, you know, just particularly, it seems, I feel like it's been a little while since Arsenal have actually made any kind of Champions League run and really even done much in terms of a knockout, you know, knockout fixture in the Champions League. So that would just be really nice to win the group, get in a good position to actually, you know, make it to the quarterfinal and get people excited and some momentum behind this team, because it feels like we just haven't really done that in a while. So I'd really like to see us prioritize the Champions League to the extent we can.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, because really that's what we've been missing. You know, Wenger still hasn't won that, and that's something we really want to at least be back at, you know, same way that we were back in the title race last year, like be in the mix when you come to the last date, you know, maybe you get knocked out in the quarterfinals, but dramatically in the end in a match against Barcelona or, you know, or one of the other heavyweights. I mean, something like that, like then you feel like you're in the mix. Maybe we'll make, you know, it's been years. What was it? 2008 that we last made the semifinal when we got turned over by United, I believe. you know,
was it? I thought it was 2009 or 2010, but yeah, somewhere right around there.
Right around there. And that was not, I mean, that was less than ideal, but you know, we were in the conversation up there until that point. And that's just something that, like, you know, you can accept the next year, like, you know, you can accept a year where you get knocked down the quarters or in the round of 16, but then you want to bounce back and be in at least the quarters again the next year. And we've kind of, the standard has been dropping just slightly. And that's something you want to get back into that talk. You know, as people talk you shit like, oh, you know, Arsenal seeded pot one. It's like, well, we have been successful in Europe for a long time, but the past couple of years we're starting to, really, if you look at the results of the, you know, I don't know how many years the results go back for the coefficient. Do you?
It goes 5 years.
So, yeah. You know, pretty soon in another year or so, we will have only reached the last 16 in the past few years, if that's, you know, what they're gauging it on.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the consistency of doing that, because we always qualify from our group, like not only do we qualify, you know, for the Champions League proper, we always qualify is impressive in itself, but you really have to do something. So, you know,
That's for the coefficient purposes. There's a pretty big numerical bonus to get it out of the group stage, I believe.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what keeps us in pot one. But yeah, I mean, it would just be great to make a little run, because I do know we're kind of right there on the fringe. In fact, I think if you looked at the coefficient for every team, I think we're outside of the top 10, but Man United are not in Europe. And I think maybe somebody else didn't make the Champions League or something. So, you know, we're still in it, but we're a couple bad years away.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it would be nice to shore that up. I mean, for a number of reasons, but yeah, it would feel good to make a little run against.
I saw someone saying, you know, I hope that Dortmund get in pot one with us next year so we don't have to face them. I was like, well, if they go to pot one, who drops to pot two? You know, there were tweets about how we faced Dortmund when they were pot four, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and then when they were pot three last year, and now they're pot two.
Yeah.
And just keep on moving up, and then, well, at whose expense? So hopefully we can make a run to make it interesting. Looking at these other groups, Group A, I think those guys got a pretty decent draw. Atletico and Juve in there with Olympiacos and Malmo. They got to feel pretty good about their chances. Neither one of them is I mean, Atletico are, you know, Spanish champions, are going to be a great competitor in this tournament, but I don't think a lot of people consider them – people don't expect that Cinderella run again this year.
Yeah, they've done a good job replacing the guys they've lost. I mean, but I guess I'd probably put Juve's favorites in that group, but it's just, you know, Olympiacos and Malmo is a big step down from those two. So I think it's got to be Juve and Atletico in some order.
Yeah, I think they have to be pretty happy with that draw. Yeah, and I'm with you. I think they're co-favorites for that group. It's really going to be interesting to see what Juve do now. It's just how they play under the new manager, because, you know, with the squad remaining intact as it stands, all this is all fucking up in air because of, you know, making sure these transfers don't happen before the end of the month. But as they stand, both those rosters look good. I really do like Atletico's replacements they've made, you know, adding a guy like Mandzukic, who, you know, is like a solid commodity and a consistent performer as a center forward. Like that's a proven deal. You know, that's the kind of guy. It's interesting. You know, people say you don't want another target man. Well, when shit like this happens at Arsenal, maybe you did want another target man just in case.
Right.
You know, because he's the kind of player that you would say right now is someone you would certainly take to fill in that number nine role at Arsenal. And that's he's a solid replacement for Diego Costa, although not quite as dynamic. It's a good move for them. And they got Griezmann, which is a big signing. So
yeah, no, a lot of big clubs wanted him, so that was a big deal for them.
Interesting to see Liverpool got drawn with Real Madrid. They should actually be very happy with that draw, considering that Ludogorets and FC Basel, the other teams, although I think Basel might be seated higher, rightfully so.
Look, you know, Liverpool kind of dropped out of Europe for a couple of years, so their coefficient went way down, but I think that's a great draw for them. I mean, honestly, I think I'd rather have their draw than ours.
Certainly.
It's in some ways, I think, but you know, I Madrid's going to win that group, I would imagine, but you know, Liverpool really shouldn't have any problem finishing second in that group. So I think that's a good deal for them. Good deal for their fans to get back. You know, obviously they have such a storied history in European competition, but to get back in the Champions League and get back in the knockout rounds will be a big deal for them. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they cope with all these extra matches this year that they didn't have last year, because that's six group matches plus probably at least two more knockout matches. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they cope. Hopefully not very well.
Hopefully.
But we shall see. I think I'd like to see Liverpool get through to the knockout round, but just, you know, win their matches against the smaller teams, get turned over by like five goals at the Bernabeu or something, and advance in second. So then they have to face a team like... let's say Barcelona or PSG or Bayern in the next round, and then lose by five aggregate goals there too. That would actually be my ideal situation.
Yeah, I think that's best case scenario for Arsenal at least.
Yeah, because they got to play the more matches and they get humiliated, so that would be great. Right. Group E is very interesting. It seems like it's probably our group of death, considering it has Bayern, City, CSKA Moscow, and Roma. City, once again, I mean, even though they're climbing the ladder, I mean, they've had to do the same thing as Dortmund in terms of moving up basically a pot each season as they're finally accumulating decent results in Europe, considering their history only started, what, 5 years ago or so? Six years ago?
Exactly.
So... Yeah. So that makes for a very interesting group, but I think for once, I actually think City is a favorite to get out of this group with Bayern, and I think I've said that the other times they've been in the group of death.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's a really tough group for them because I think Roma are a good team.
I agree. That's
not going to be an easy fixtures for them. You know, Munich, I think they'll be doing very well to get, you know, 3 points or more out of those two fixtures. Roma's going to be tough. And then, you know, Moscow seems like the odd team out. And I think that's clearly the weakest team of that four-team group. But, it, you know, if nothing else, having to do that trip, especially if it gets kind of late in the fall, winter, you know, if you're in November, December and having to fly out to Moscow for a match midweek, I mean, that's really tough on Manchester City, and they're going to have to juggle some players and prioritize some things. That's just the kind of fixture you never want in the group stage. So,
and for, you know, that and for could be tough
for them. It's great for us.
Yeah. I mean, for all the Premier League rivals, it's got to be great news for all of us, because you know that they're taking the Champions League seriously this year. It's the competition they have not won, and they want to, you know, everyone's considered them pretenders. Even though they've won the title, they still haven't done anything in Europe, and that's when you really establish yourself as a real world power. So they're going to prioritize this. They're going to go out to try to win this group.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, look at the travel. They have to, you know, they got to go all the way down to Italy. Yeah, Germany's not far, but you're facing Bayern, and you have to go to Russia, like you said. You know, hopefully for once, you know, they'll actually get the fixture congestion where they have to go to Russia midweek between two big matches, which would be fantastic to see for someone else.
Yeah,
I saw someone saying that there's a, I don't know, I think there's one of our Champions League dates is between like a Chelsea and I think Spurs or something. Match day two.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah.
And it's like, well, any fixture there is fine. Just please don't let it be, you know,
Istanbul
in midweek, because that would be the worst possible scenario. So now most of us think that is exactly what will happen. But
I'm sure.
It's like, oh, this year we decided to change the order of the way these guys play.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know, man. I really think that City will get through their group. As much as I like Roma, I really think they are going to make a splash, and I don't think anybody really wants to face them.
Yeah, I do too. I will say I think they're going to win that group, actually, over Munich. But I think them and Munich are going to be through.
Bold statement.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. You know, that's probably the group of death if we had to give one. You know, the two toughest groups look like that one in Arsenal's Group D. We also have Barcelona, PSG, and Ajax all together in a group with Apoel. Three of Zlatan's clubs all together. It's a shame that one of the other Milans or something.
Yeah, but Malmo could have gotten in. That would have been great.
Yeah, if they had gotten Malmo, exactly. It would have been the nice continental assortment for him.
Right. I think that group kind of is pretty straightforward. I don't know who's going to win, but I'd be pretty stunned if it wasn't Barca and PSG getting through. I mean, I think Apoel, you know, they had that really weird fluky run a couple of years ago, which was a lot of fun when they made it out of a group. But I don't see that happening again. And you know, Ajax has this storied history. Obviously, they've always got some talent, but I feel like the talented players they have are always young and trying to move on. And they just, you know, it's been a long time since they can't
keep a squad together, because as soon as those players show promise, they're just picked off. I mean, that's what apparently happens to them. You know, and it seems like they're always in these groups, right? I mean, I don't know how many times they've been in the same group with Barcelona, fucking, you know, more times than we've been in the same group with Dortmund in the past few years. And they're perennially like a third place team, you know, like they all go out there and give it the good college try with their young kids and they'll win a couple matches, but seem to always be dropping into the Europa League. So I'd say you probably expect that to stay as it is, and we'll see whoever. It's going to be interesting, because that Barca PSG, it really seems like more of a toss-up than it ever has before, you know?
I agree, yeah.
But
and a lot of it depends on, I guess, how long Ibrahimovic is out injured and whether he's back for some of those. But
and whether yeah, or not, I think, whether I think or not Cavani's awesome. Still there.
Yeah, that too. That is another interesting question.
Yeah, I
think he will be, but he may not.
I think so too, but I'd be happy to be surprised otherwise. Unless he would be another one that would go to Chelsea, but that would be
right. Exactly.
Who knows? Who knows? I'm interested to see how that goes. Speaking of Chelsea, they got a pretty straightforward draw again. Schalke, who are decent, they're not in the strongest of positions. Sporting and Maribor, you know, that's about as straightforward a group as you could hope for.
Yeah, and that's it's a big advantage for them if they can, basically prioritize either just winning the first two or three matches in that group, where they can kind of back off the throttle a little bit and focus on their league matches, or prioritize winning the home matches or something. But yeah, it's hard to see a realistic scenario in which they don't win that group. And they may have it wrapped up with a couple matches to play, which is always a really good situation for them to be in, especially if I assume their match day is going to be the same fall, the same weeks as ours. So it's going to be, they may have to worry about an Arsenal match before or after a Champions League match. I'm sure they'll have other tough ones too.
Right.
So it'll be nice for them, they can rotate their squad. I think that's a big luxury and could help them a lot in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a luxury you can earn by going out and getting the business done early. We've seen, although it's been kind of a worrying trend that we tend to go out and we race out to a lead in these groups and we end up conceding the top spot on the last day.
I've
done that a bit recently. It really seems like something we really just gotta, go for the kill and really knock this out and get the top seed for once, and that'd be really a great step of progress, at least just to put us in that draw. I mean, that said, then we'll probably get PSG or Barcelona, in the next round anyway.
There's never any guarantees, but
you want to stack the odds in your favor. You want to have a chance to play fucking, Shakhtar or Bilbao. Instead of one of those other teams, you want to have that, let's stack the odds in our favor for once. So,
right. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited with the draw. I mean, granted, there's a couple relatively dud groups. The one I said, like the Porto, Shakhtar, Bilbao, and Bate, and the Group C, Benfica, Zenit, Leverkusen, and Monaco. It's a little bit of a snoozer, but.
Yeah. Both of those wouldn't be out of place in the Europa League, I would say. But that's the way it works,
It is, and thankfully, at this stage, the days those group play will be the same as other more interesting teams play, so you don't have to worry about it too much.
Right.
So there's that. But an interesting draw. It'll be a lot of good stuff. I mean, obviously, we can't say anything more about where it's going to go after because the next random draw after we get through this group. But a tough test for Arsenal. No doubt, a bit of traveling. We're going to have to earn it, but really the whole reason we're here and the reason why we want to be here is we want to be competing against the world's best. And that's why securing Champions League is so big for us and so important, because that's where you want to be. We're a club that's perennially there. We've been there now that United have dropped out. We've been there the longest. It's been 17 straight seasons. That's something that, can't be sniffed at. It's an impressive standard to play to keep. And that's what keeps our name high up there. And we want to be a destination where players want to go, and not having this would make such a big difference.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's really, obviously everybody wants the trophies and emphasizes the trophies, and I understand that. I feel the same way, but 17 years in the group stage is a pretty remarkable achievement. And I know it's the kind of thing that Arsenal fans get made fun of for celebrating, but I mean, I do just think that level of consistency and continuity and just being there year after year after year. And really, it's been a long time since we haven't gotten out of the group either, So it's even more than that. We get through the group to the knockout stages.
We have nearly as long of a streak, I believe. Right. I mean, it's only, it's 14 years or something. We've qualified a ridiculous amount consecutively as well. So,
right.
So yeah, I mean that's a great record to have.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that they don't make it easy, and they didn't make it easy against Besiktas, but it's great to be here. But the Champions League is so much fun to follow and root for. So It's great to have Arsenal in it year after year.
Yeah, I was telling Joseph earlier that I still refuse to acknowledge the Europa League as a competition until I'm forced to when Arsenal go down. So I'm just going to continue to throw, you know, everything I can at it and just bile and whatnot, because until we have to play in that competition, it is a Mickey Mouse tournament at the very best. So I will continue to slander as long as we can continue to sling shit from our perch up here.
Hopefully we can keep doing that for a while.
Yeah, long may it last. So, an interesting draw. Just before we go, Martin, do you have any hopes or thoughts about the transfer window before we get out? There's only about 4 days left.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Arsenal, to the extent they may do something, I think they're waiting to make sure we did get into the group stage and did get that group stage money. Which we've done, so that's nice, and that gives the club some money to play with. You know, I think we can't lose sight of everything the club has done in the transfer window. I think it's been, frankly, probably the best transfer window we've had in a long time. You know, Alexis Sanchez is a fantastic player. I think we did as well as we could have replacing Sonia, and Callum Chambers looks to be a pretty great signing so far. So I think all three of those look really solid, and I'm happy about that for the club. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest need we have, well, I mean, there are two, I guess, that everybody recognizes. I think we need another defensive player, hopefully somebody that can play defensive midfield and fill in at center back. And then, you know, Giroud's injury, I think, may force the club's hand in terms of going out and getting a striker. Although, as I've said on Twitter, you know, and I know most people disagree, I would rather not panic buy just because he's out for 3 months. If we feel okay with Sanogo and Sanchez and Theo and Joel Campbell and that group being able to fill in for 3 months, I'd rather do that than go out and buy somebody that Wenger's not crazy about. But it does look like we need some reinforcements there. So those are the two areas that I would be hopeful the club would be addressing. But honestly, I think the defensive player is more important than the striker at this point, at least for me.
Yeah, I think numbers-wise, you know, we're really short that one body in defense. Certainly the center back, you know, numbers wise in midfield, I don't think we're really hurting, but I'd happily take another, because I don't, technically Diaby is occupying a spot, but I don't count him, you know, as much as I love him, I don't count him. And I don't think we need anyone. Well, I think we do need a central striker, but I don't think that anything will happen really. Although I'd like to bring in an attacker. I mean, if that means that we lose Podolski and bring one in, then that's great, because as much as I don't want to lose, don't really want to lose Podolski, you know, it seems like his time is kind of passed with Arsenal. He hasn't really shown the way he could. And if we're going to pursue, you know, looking forward to Arsenal's lineup, he knows he's not first choice. And we have guys like Ox and Campbell to take his minutes. So if we bring in a new option, you know, whether it be center forward or wing wide forward, someone who could potentially be converted, I'm all for it. But I think that would involve probably a Podolski leaving or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to run the guy down, but I'm not Podolski's biggest fan. And I'm much more importantly, I don't think Wenger is a huge Podolski fan at this point either.
I think he's very reluctant. Right. So the way he's used him and the way that he's never finished games and is always subbed off, it kind of tells you something about it. So
right. But you know, then the flip side of that is you just look at his goal scoring record, and which is pretty great given the minutes he gets, and think like, well, that's going to have to be replaced if he goes from somewhere. And it's not, I don't know. It's a nice luxury. He's a luxury player, I think, for us, but it's a good luxury to have to, you know, if we're down a goal or tied late in the match, to be able to just throw him on and know that if you get him in position and give him chances, there's a good chance we'll get you the goal you need.
I like him as an option.
He's a very useful player in that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have those different options to come off the bench, because, you know, when we've been decimated by injuries, when all of a sudden all you see on the bench is Sanogo, who's not scored a goal for us in a real match, and, you know, and a few midfielders and a couple defenders. I mean, there's been times over the past couple seasons where you look at the bench and it's been completely threadbare, and you're just like, where are the attacking options? You know, you look at something like, you know, recently the other week, and you see when you have guys like, you know, okay, there's Rosicki, and then there's Campbell and Podolski and all that. You want to have a few different looks you can throw at someone depending on what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And if he goes, bring another option, because we need to strengthen And really, I feel like it's really going to be another chance missed if we don't strengthen the way we can to really give this a run, because it seems like we have the foundation of a squad who can really put together something and put together a run, put together another title challenge, if not winning, and go deep in a couple more tournaments. So.
Yeah, no, I think the opportunity is there, and it, by all accounts, the club has a fair amount of money. So, you know, Wenger's not going to buy somebody just to buy him, but I do think the money's there if he can, locate the right player. I think he will. And I will say, prediction, I think we're going to buy somebody.
How many players come in? How many players?
One. Just a defensive player, yeah. That's my prediction. I'd be great if it was a striker too. But
I think one absolutely needs to happen. Two should definitely happen, and three would be ideal. But I'm gonna bank on two. I'm gonna say it's gonna be two. They might be defender and midfielder, and I'm willing to deal with that. So, and I, honestly, as much as I want a striker, I feel those are more pressing than the striker, like you said, because we do have other options. Although it was really weird seeing our front line. Like, who was the tallest person on our front line yesterday? Was it Ox or was it? Like the tallest player in our front line yesterday was either Ox or Alexis. And they were like, what's that? Who's the tallest? 5'7"? Something like that?
Yeah, I think Alexis is 5'7". Yeah.
And like Ox is maybe the same height right there. And Santi's like 5'5". It's not.
Yeah, no, that's true. It may have been the Ox. I thought he was like 5'8 or 5'9".
He might be 5'8". Ox might be 5'8", but he's not very tall. He's quite stout. I mean, two of those guys are solid, solid
young
men. But not the tallest, and just having no height in that back line on that front line was very interesting.
Yeah, no, it's a tough to play like that, I think, in the league, especially where so many teams will just sit behind the ball, which really was a lot of what Besiktas was doing too. But you know, if you don't have anybody to win that ball over the top or win the knock down the long ball, it can be pretty tough to break those teams down. So I do think we need another option. I like Sanogo better than most people do, but you know, obviously there's not much of a track record there yet. So there's plenty of reasons to be nervous about throwing him into the fire.
I have a lot of reasons to like Sanogo, and I like a lot of what I see, and just, it really seems so raw, but it's one of those things that I feel like he can't, or he shouldn't really be being blooded and getting his minutes with us. Like, I'd like to see him play week in, week out with a championship side, a lower premiership side, something like that, I think would be his best bet. But I mean, I'm perfect. Like I was happy to keep him around if he just wasn't an option we had to go to very often, you know, start the League Cup matches, you know, occasionally come on as a substitute, but not the guy that we have to depend on when Giroud's out. I don't think that's the right situation for him. And, you know, it's a lot of fucking pressure, you know, for a guy who really hasn't scored. And he looks just, you know, he's been quite big for quite a while, but I mean, he still looks so leggy, you know, he looks like a Bambi on ice, is what I said earlier. And, he still needs to find kind of his composure in front of goal, but he does so much good work. I'm really excited about him as a prospect. So
yeah, I am too. And he is, it's amazing how disruptive he is to the other team whenever he's on. And I think that's really encouraging. He's just got to figure out quite how to use that and work with the other players on the team to get everybody in the right positions and get himself in the position to score.
Yeah, quite a handful. But, you know, like we've said, we see him getting into the right positions a lot, you know, whether or not he's executing there. You know, we see with a lot of other players, it takes time for that. You know, Joseph and I were saying earlier, you know, it looks like Wilshere had a pretty decent match.
He did.
Against Besiktas, but he was actually finding himself in the right places. And, you know, that's kind of what's most important. You know, we saw with Rambo. Rambo was always getting into the right places, but not really getting the finishing right. And it's just, it comes with time and experience to where you don't feel as stressed and pressured in front of goal, and it seems like the goal opens up because it seems like time slows down when you're in the zone. So now we've got Ramsey who's locked in, and some of these guys, it just takes time to develop that. You know, it was the same way with Cesc. Hopefully Wilshere will have the same kind of turnabout. So,
yeah, well, hope so.
Interesting to see. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me, Martin. You can follow him on Twitter at HeisenbergCamp. And that'll be it from us this week, and we'll chat later. Thanks.
Thanks so much.